Morning, church. When I was 17 years old, I needed some money, and the job I had wasn't giving me enough. So there was an older gentleman at church, and he said, you know, your dad said you needed some money, and so I've got a couple of jobs this weekend if you want to do it. And I said, sure. He said, do you want to know what it is? I said, it doesn't matter, because I need money. Don't ever tell somebody it don't matter when you need money. But I remember telling him, it don't matter. He said, well, it's hard work. And I said, I got that. But, you know, I had roofed in the summer. I had helped with some asphalt crews. I thought, can't be worse, you know, than roofing in the middle of July or, you know, setting asphalt in the middle of August. No way it can be worse. It was worse. Got to the guy's place. He said, it's in the back, in the barn. And I thought, oh, it's cows. So I'm going to milk cows or something. I'm cool. I got it. Now, we're going to strip tobacco. I don't know if y'all have ever stripped tobacco. I'd rather lay asphalt, to be honest with you. It don't sound like it's that bad. It's bad. After a couple hours, you want to die. I remember getting done after a day, and I was hurting. And we got done, and because he wanted a lot done in a day. You know, you have to strip so much in a day. And I said, well, I hope you know that I'm not, you know, I'm not afraid of hard work. And he said, anybody can do hard work. He said, but can you do it every day? And I said, no. And I said, you just give me my check for today. I'm done. I don't need money that bad. And he said, well, he said, I want you to remember something. He said, anybody can strip tobacco for a day. It's those who can strip tobacco their whole life that makes a difference. He said, anybody can do hard work, but not everybody can work hard. And I've always remembered that. There is a vast difference between hard work and working hard. And if you're visiting with us, we've had this series that we've done all year. We've been talking about worship all year. And every month, we kind of stop to have to talk about a topic that I've called epitaph character. And that is, what we put on our tombstone is not the same kind of thing that we would put on our resume. And we have talked about some other things that I want the church to remember. And these are characteristics that I feel as if those of us who live in America have almost lost. There was a wanted ad that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle. I want to read it to you because I didn't know we still had newspapers. It says, wanted, an executive, ages 20 to 60. The job entails sitting back in your chair with your feet propped on your desk from 10 to 4 while watching everyone else work. You must be willing to play golf every other afternoon. The salary starts at $3,000 a week. Underneath that in small print, it says, we don't really have this job. We just thought you would like to see in print the job everybody is really applying for. Isn't that true? You know, we want to put out the job that we need, but everybody who comes in, we feel like sometimes they really don't want to work hard. We've looked at two other traits. This is the last one for this year, but there were three traits that I feel as if the church almost needs to lead on here, and let me just kind of give you a reminder of what they are every week. Remember, the first was duty. It's not about doing what we want to do, it's doing what we're expected to do. Life is more than just trying to do things you get credit for. You don't always get credit for stuff. Sometimes we have to do things because it's what we have to do. You remember the second one, dignity. Thinking about how we're perceived, acting in a way that brings honor to ourselves, behaving in a way where others are proud to speak about you. I asked us all to think about getting some of our dignity back, and this week, this final characteristic I want us to look at, I'm going to have some dignity and not hit this thing. Are you running it back there now, or am I doing it? Oh, I am? You're being nice. He is. Today I want us to look at two texts. I want us to look at Matthew 25, and I want us to look in Proverbs. So we're going to look in the Old Testament, we're going to look in the New Testament. Because diligence is something that we don't talk. Diligence is not hard work. Diligence is working hard. And there's, well, let me ask you this. Maybe this can spark something. Have you ever worked all day and then felt like you haven't got anything done? Have you ever started a project, and then 2 years later, that treehouse is still unfinished? Or the basement still hadn't been repainted? Or the addition to that house is still just an addition to your stress? Have you ever wanted to change something about yourself, but 10 years later, you're still struggling with that problem or that addiction? Now, a lot of people would tell you you're not using the right drugs. A lot of people would say that you're not talking to the right doctors, or a lot of people would say that, well, that we just got a lot going on. But at the end of the day, I think for a lot of us, it comes down to, are we willing to work hard? Are we willing to keep at it? Are we willing to keep on fighting, to keep on trying, to keep on trying to get it done? There is a big difference. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, if you've got your Bibles, if you'll turn there, I want to read this parable, although I'm sure we've read it a million times. It's called the parable of the talents, but you could call it the parable of the, I don't know, the money bags, the parable of the paychecks, I don't know. You kind of pick, but we'll just use talents here. Look at verse 14, Matthew 25, verse 14. It's kind of a long parable, but, you know, work hard, bear with me. Again, it's like a man who's going on a journey, and he calls his servants together, and he entrusts his property to them. To one, he gives 5 talents of money. So you just like, you know, I don't know, 5 bags of money. To another, he gives 2, and to another, he gives 1, each one according to his ability. Let's stop there. Does that mean that each person deserved 5 and 2 and 1? Or does that mean that one person's capable of handling 5, one person's capable of handling 2, one person's capable? You see the difference? It's what is somebody capable of handling? Then he goes on his journey, verse 16. The man who got 5 bags of money or 5 talents went at once, put his money to work, and he got 5 more. So also the one with 2 gained 2 more, but the one who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who received 5 talents brought the other 5. He said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the guy with 2 talents also came. He said, "Master, you entrusted me with 2, and I gained 2 more. Verse 23, the master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." We know the guy who got 1 is going to do all the talking, right? Verse 24. Then the man who got 1 talent said, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, you gather where you've not scattered seed. So I got scared. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And his master said, "You wicked," what's that second word? "Lazy servant." So let me get this straight. You knew where I harvest, that I harvest where I haven't sown, and I gather where I haven't gathered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Let's just pause here. He's not telling him you should have invested it well. What he's saying is you should have given it to somebody else who would have at least gotten me a little interest on. If you're not going to do well with what I've given you, then let somebody else have a crack at it. If you're not going to do well. Verse 28. "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. Everyone who has will be given more, and who will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the dark, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Lazy and worthless. It's 2 of my favorite words. Well, of my favorite words. Lazy and worthless. Let me tell you what God's not saying. Let me tell you what he is saying. God is not looking for results from you. God does not base your salvation or anything else on what you achieve. So this is not some grading system. God is also not trying to compare you to other people. You notice he didn't say, he got 5, he got 2, how come you didn't get 1? This isn't a race. the person who's sitting in the pew with you, or the person who goes to church with you, or the person you grow with, this ain't a race to see who gets better salvation than the other person. Life is not a competition with other people to see who can get more. And God is not looking for the most qualified to give the inheritance to. The 5, 2, and 1 wasn't based on how good you were. It was just based upon what you could do with it. Let me tell you what he is looking for. God is looking for people who actually realize what they've been given. They've been given something, they got an opportunity. So do you realize that? Do you have it? God is looking for each person in here to do something with what they have been given. Nothing more, nothing less. And finally, God is looking for people who give up. How do we do that? How do we show diligence? Let me give you 3 hints. Well, let me give you 3 ideas, okay? Y'all may not agree with it. We're all going to have to decide what's most important in our life. We all going to have to decide that. Some of us are married. Some of us have children. Some of us have grandchildren. What's the most important thing in your life? You can't say everything. You can't say everything. What's the most important thing? What gets the most of your time? What gets the most of your energy? And if you say it's everything, you ain't got no time. And you ain't got no energy. Now, I'm not saying pick your favorite child. I'm not saying pick your favorite grandchild, although some of you do. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we're all going to have to ask ourselves what's most important. One of the issues with our society is that we treat everything as if everything is equally important. And I'm going to tell you, it's not. Every phone call that comes through that phone is not equally important. I sat with somebody, they got the, I don't know how, some of y'all get the telemarketers. I don't know how some of y'all, they got y'all cell phone. I don't know how y'all did that. Y'all messed up somewhere. But I was with somebody, they knew it was a telemarketer. They knew it was. Like they look at it, they went, telemarketer. And then they answered it. Why did you answer it? I mean, why? I mean, some of you do this. This is a problem. You answered it. They said, hello. Hope this phone don't ring while I do. I said, hello. And we was having a conversation. We was having a serious conversation. And they went, telemarketer, hello. Now, that one move, what does that say? What does that say to me? You're not important. You're not as important as this telemarketer that I don't know who it is that wants to sell me something I'm not going to buy. So my question is, why you answer it? They didn't just answer it. Hello? Hi? Yes? Okay. All right. Sure. Sure, I've got time. Sure. How do you have time? How do you have time for that? Church, we're all going to have to figure out what's... The reason that we're not working hard is because we're plumb worn out. Because we're trying to gain on the 5 talents over here and the 2 over here. We got all this. Look, you got 1 job. What is it? Figure it out. What is it? 1 job. If you're a dairy farmer, you got 1 thing on your mind. You better milk them cows. I've told y'all this before. You got to milk cows. Don't matter what happens. Doesn't matter if the grandchild is born. Doesn't matter if the tornado is coming. It doesn't matter if the house is burning to the ground. You better go milk those cows or your life's ruined. We have to figure out what's most important. Here's the second thing. We've got to start managing our time. Time management. Asking ourselves, how much time is this going to take? What can I do this? I've seen more and more of us get sidetracked on something that we think is going to take 5 minutes, and how long does it take? Like 5 hours. How much time do you want to spend a day with your spouse? How much time should you spend? How much time do you want to spend with each child? How much time do you want to spend with each grandchild? How much time do you want to spend to yourself? How much time do you spend at work? How much time does it take you in the commute? How much time do you want to sleep? How much time do you want to peruse the internet? Y'all thought about this? About managing all those minutes? I don't think we're thinking about it. And so the master will come back and he said, what you been doing with all your time? I don't know. I don't know what I did yesterday. I don't know. We have to figure out what's important, and then we have to manage our time towards what's most important. Manage it. Here's the last thing. you can't determine your goal by what other people say. You can't decide something you're going to do just because somebody else doesn't like it. You notice the last guy, he said, I knew that you were a harsh man. What difference does it make? It doesn't matter what other people say. Only thing that matters is whether or not you can get your job done. Whether or not we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. I think that's the only way we're going to be able to be more diligent. It's the only way we're going to be able to work hard. There's another text. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go back to Proverbs. You know, there's always the diligent side, and then there's always, what, the grasshopper side? It's Aesop's Fables. I've been reading this story since I was three. Maybe I couldn't read then. I've seen the pictures since I was three. There's always another side to this. Anytime we talk about being diligent, anytime we talk about working hard, anytime we talk about that characteristic, there's always the other side. We can call him, what's the opposite of diligent? Let's just say lazy. And it's not so much lazy, it's just someone who doesn't really appreciate what he has to do. Proverbs 24, verses 30 and 31. Let me just kind of talk about the opposite of diligent for a minute. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 31. The writer says, I went past the field of this lazy guy. Went past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered in weeds. And the stone wall was in ruins. Let me give you a modern day translation of this. I passed a trailer of a landscaping company. And on the side of his trailer, on both sides, he had six weed eaters total. He had three on this side. He had three on this side. Every weed eater had a cover over the motor. Like different colors. Looked like he ordered them, you know, a pack on Amazon or something. You know, black, red, green, blue, yellow, you know, like just. But the motor of each weed eater was covered. It had a zip. It was all zipped up. We're sitting there at the stoplight. I'm just looking. And I'm thinking, did he buy this as a set? Like, did he buy the whole trailer as a set? And I look, and he's got a mower there, and it looks like, you know, it looks pretty shiny. Like he just washed it. And I'm thinking, he's got to be advertising equipment. There's no way this guy's in the landscaping business. And he pulls right into that gas station where I get my sandwiches at. So I pulled in right behind him. And he got out, and he's got to put gasoline in all of his equipment. And he starts putting gas in the weed eater. He puts it in the big red thing, and then he starts to top him off. And I said, hey, I didn't, you know, first I asked him because I didn't understand about the gasoline in the weed eaters and how he could do all that. And I said, hey, do you just drive around with this stuff to show it off or what? He said, what do you mean? I said, your stuff's immaculate. And he said, that's because I want it to last a long time. And I said, yeah, but it looks like, you know, you got covers on all the stuff. He said, well, I don't like my stuff getting rained on. I don't like my stuff getting mud on. I don't like rocks coming up and hitting my equipment. He said, I spent a lot of money on this equipment, so I like to keep it looking good. And at first I thought, man, you got way too much time on your hands. That's what I thought. I thought, you got way too much time. But then I passed, maybe a couple days later, another guy who was in the landscaping business. Looked like he threw the weed eater in there, you know, literally like, you know, how far can I throw it? See if I can get it in there. Gas can half fallen off. The push mower's kind of tipped over like this. And you see him get out. You know, he's got no ramp to come down, just kind of yanks it down. Gets the weed eater trying to pull it, you know, beating on it. Maybe we'll get it one more go. There's a difference between hard work and working hard. Working hard's in it for the long run. Working hard's got this end goal in mind. People who work hard appreciate what they have and care for it. But there's a second. In Proverbs 13:4, a lazy person's appetite never gets filled. The desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Those who have no diligence, they want everything, but they don't want to work for anything. They talk a lot about what they want to have. They talk a lot about, boy, if I ever won the lottery. But they don't really do anything. There's another proverb, Proverbs 21, verse 25. It says, lazy people will die of hunger because they won't get up to go eat. They'll die of hunger because they won't get up to go eat. Those who are not diligent are not reliable. Some of y'all got employees like this. As Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes are lazy people who you send away. You ever give somebody something to do and you really have no idea at all if they're going to do it? And then you end up having to tell three other people just to make sure that at least it got done by somebody? If you're a person who has to be told to do something and you're not in the habit of getting it done immediately, you are a person who cannot be relied upon. You are a person that we question. You are not a diligent person. There's one more. You're as reliable as this clicker. Those who are not diligent are wasteful. Proverbs 12:27. The lazy do not roast their game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. Lazy people, well, let's do it this way. Diligent people don't go hunting unless they can do something with the game they shot. Diligent people don't open a beverage if they have nowhere to put their trash. Diligent people don't go out to eat unless they have money for the food and the tip. There's something behind being diligent. Being diligent means we're always thinking about everything. Solomon wants to leave us with what being diligent in the end means. We have to think about ourselves. And so we have to go back to that Proverbs 6 passage that we started with, that Luke started us with. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. It's the last text. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. It says sluggard. I don't know what a sluggard is, but it's like a sloth. It's like a lazy person. Just think of a slug. Here we go. Go to the ant. Look at its ways. Be wise. The thing has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, and yet somehow it stores its provisions in the summer, and it gathers its food at the harvest. In these three little verses, Solomon says, here's the secret to being diligent. Number one, size don't matter. Maybe a size doesn't matter. English don't matter either. Size don't matter. You don't have to be the richest. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the most qualified. I've seen some qualified people get fired from a job. I've seen experienced people get fired from a job. And I have seen less qualified, less experienced people get the job. Do you know why? Because they're diligent. Because they'll work hard. And I'll tell you, I'll take somebody who works hard over a qualified person any day of the week and on Sundays, and that includes the church. Things don't get done by those who are qualified. They get done by those who want to get the job done. Size doesn't matter. That's why Solomon says, look at the ant. Obviously, size doesn't matter. They're outworking us all. Here's the second thing. It's about self-motivation. If you compare how much you make to how much your friend makes, you're not very diligent. It's not about comparing yourself to others. It's about comparing yourself to yourself. Here's my advice. Never compare what you make to what others make. Compare what you make to what you made last year. Compare what you made to what you made 10 years ago. Don't look at what you have and what somebody else has. Look at what you have and ask yourself, is that better than what I did have? The ant is self-motivated. Doesn't need anybody to tell it what to do. Doesn't need anybody to ask it any questions. The ant will just get up. It'll do it. It can be relied upon to do what it needs to do. It doesn't have to be told twice. And here's the last thing. Solomon says, no matter what, the ant's going to make sure it stores what it needs to store over here and stores what it needs to store over here. The ant has an end goal in mind. The ant is always looking at the end. And church, I'm going to tell you, a lot of us, we only have today in front of us. We're not even thinking about where we're going. There's an end goal in mind. I'm going to close with this story right here because it was, well, I didn't believe it at first, and it's just, how, you may have to kick it, Jaheim. This thing's broke. Dasharath Manji lived in India. In 1960, Dasharath's wife is injured while she's trekking up the side of this rocky path. In order to get to the hospital, Dasharath has to transport her around a mountain because his village, while sitting adjacent to the village with the hospital, it's separated by a gigantic mountain, and going around the mountain adds 45 minutes to the trip. And so in order to get her to the hospital, instead of taking 5 miles, he has to take 45 miles and go around. And because the trip took so long, his wife died on the way. It angered the man. So he decided he did not want other people to face this similar situation. And so, armed with only a sledgehammer and a chisel and a crowbar, this guy decides he's going to take out his frustration on this mountain. And he says, I'm going to dig a road through the mountain. His friends asked, how long of a road will this be? Dasharath says, 300 feet. But he did not want the hospital to be isolated from his village. Dasharath sold the family's goat to buy a hammer and a chisel. And when that ran out, he sold another goat to buy another hammer and a chisel. And when he used those down to the nub, he sold a final goat to buy another hammer and a chisel. Every day, Dasharath would wake up. He would plow the fields of those that he knew. He would take the money that he had, that they paid him with, the small amount of money. He would use that to buy his food and to earn his living. But then about 2 o'clock, he would go to this mountain, and he would start digging until about 10 at night. And he did this every day. And 22 years later, by working every day, this landless laborer, this heartbroken husband, broke the mountain. 22 years. He carved out a road 360 feet long, 30 feet wide. And now, this town that was once 45 miles away is only 5 miles away. It didn't take skill. It didn't take a degree in engineering. It didn't take money. What did it take? Working hard. It took hard work, but it took working hard. Church, if you are a person who takes shortcuts, if you are a person who just tries to get by, if you are a person who allows others to tackle the real hard parts of the job, I want you to think about your finances. I want you to think about your job. I want you to think about your children. I want you to think about your church. I want you to think about everything you have in life. If you are a person who takes shortcuts, who tries to get by and lets other people do the hard stuff, you'll have a life. It just won't be much of one. You'll get by, but you're not going to get far. You will probably never lose, but I promise you, you will never, ever win. Never. I would like to see the church lead the way. It don't take much. It doesn't take much. You don't have to be qualified. We don't have to have degrees. We don't have to be experienced. You don't have to do any of that stuff. But how the church can lead the way is the church can set the path for working hard. That the church can always be the hardest working people there. Here's what I like. You know, the old days we used to evangelize by going to people's door and knocking on it. You remember that old trick when we was kids and you go to somebody's door and knock on it and run? Yeah, we called that evangelism. Yeah, knock, hope they don't open the door. Here's a better way to evangelize. Be the hardest working person at your job. You ain't got to be more qualified. You ain't got to be more experienced. You ain't got to make the most money. But I'll promise you, your employer will notice. Be the hardest working person at your school. Be the hardest working student. You may not be the most qualified. You may not be the smartest. When I was a student, I determined I was going to work harder than everybody else. I was going to work harder. May not get the grade, but I'm going to get the credit because I'm going to work hard. It's the best, one of the best ways to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Look, there go that employee. Look, there they go. They're the hardest working person I have. You know why? Because they're a Christian person. That's why. Because they're diligent people. Church, when Jesus returns, He's not going to be looking for those who did the hard work. He's going to be looking for those who were willing to work hard. Can we work? What can we do? How long can we do it for? Let's ask ourselves that as we stand and sing.